All right, thank you, Brother Tim. So, did any of you have any takeaway points, anything very practical that really resonated with you that you think you want to implement when you get back? Anything you want to share with our group? Yeah, Alex?
Just how important the truth really is as far as the school and work, although those are necessary evils, but they're not supposed to feed our collective spiritual life out of us.
Yep. Yeah, that's right. So it's got to be number one, absolute most important thing, right? And that really, I mean, touches on this idea of being a sojourner, of being in conflict with spiritual Egypt, even like raising a godly house. I mean, it all really comes to the fact, seek ye first the kingdom of God, right? And all of these things will be added unto you. So, anything else? Yeah, Ethan? Ooh, make the truth your career. I like that. That's pretty good. okay. Anything else? Yeah, Josh.
I think just to add a point with Ross in our group, just the whole parenting idea and how we're all involved with that, but how they're not even our own children. God has given them to us, like Psalm 127 says. You know, they're a reward, they're a gift that God has given to us. So, as young people helping with the kids, and our own children, God's given them to us for us to raise their fruit in Him. And that makes it all easy. Everything you do with the quality down, you get, you know, that's our whole purpose.
Yeah.
Because I'm in the kingdom to let God.
That is very true.
Get what He wanted out of giving you a child.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. So these are not our children. Yeah, that's a good reminder. Anything else? One more? Yeah, Brandon.
By their example, we know what's important, you know, and something that came out of that was, you know, the commandments of God and, you know, everything, that the stories in the Bible, Moses crossing the Red Sea, these things we remember because their parents taught them, and they knew what's important for us to know.
And acted it out. You guys, I heard you were talking about the skewer. That sounded, yeah, that sounded pretty good. So, anyway, it was really interesting going around and listening to what your groups were talking about. Some of the points were really helpful. So one of the things that I kind of heard resonating, I think, as far as how do you stay separate and be a sojourner, one of them was to set up a routine. Those of you guys that know me, you know I love routine and calendars. So maybe that's why it really stuck with me. But you know, to plan out, this is just normal for us. Every week on Wednesday, we go to Bible class, right? That's just how it is. You know, it doesn't matter what's happening. That's what we do, right? Every week on Friday, we go to CYC, or whenever your CYC might be. So you set up your routine, you do Bible readings at whatever time. And I mean, this is what you see in Scripture, right? Those of you who are just studying prayer, you have things like Psalm 55:17 that talks about morning, evening, and afternoon, I'll offer my prayer, right? This idea of having a set time where you do things so that you don't have to, you know, force yourself to go do stuff, but you think, oh, well, look, it's 1 o'clock, this is what I do right now, so I'm going to go do that. And that really helps you set up that habit. I remember when I was younger that I was homeschooled through high school, and I had the science test that like I had to take the next day, and I had to study for it, and I was all freaked out. And I remember the first time in my life ever, I went to my dad, and I said, so I'm not going to go to Bible class tonight because I have to study for this test. And he looked at me and he was like, you are going to class. And I thought, what? Like, and he said, you know, you'll just do badly on the test, too bad. And like, and I thought, oh, you know, but that's, you know, that really set it up for me that no matter what, like, I'm going to Bible class. So that's just kind of how it is. And it really was helpful in establishing that habit for me. As far as raising kids, the one that really resonated, I thought, was, there were a couple. There was one about really just talking positively about the truth all the time. I remember somebody said once that you never want to say negative things about your ecclesia or anyone in your ecclesia or anything like that around your children or around the rest of your family, because eventually you'll get over that problem, right? You'll figure it out, you'll reconcile with the person that you're frustrated with, But the other people in your family that heard you complaining about it, they are going to now be dealing with this problem, and they aren't going to have had that nice conversation you just had with that brother and fixed everything, right? So they are still going to be dealing with that problem, and now you are, it spreads, and it just it's not a good thing. So this idea of just being positive, right, and getting excited. One group said that it made a big difference for them that when it was time to do the readings, that their family always said, okay, now we get to do the readings, rather than now we have to do the readings. Right? And so it was just always, we get to do it. This is this special, exciting privilege that we're going to have. So I thought that was neat. Something I've been trying to say with Bethany, we'll see how this goes, is I've been trying to say things like, hey, we're going to a Bible school where we get to be with Christadelphians. Isn't that so awesome? Aren't Christadelphians the most awesome people in the world? And she'll go, yeah, Daddy, they are. And then, you know, we'll see how that goes. But anyway, it's that idea of just being positive all the time, right? And just recognizing that this is a really good thing. Okay, now, the moment you've all been waiting for. Let's talk about those midwives. Okay, so there's a few things. Just to kind of get this, to begin this, I think it's helpful to recognize that there are instances in Scripture where people lie. As far as the midwives go, right, it's questionable. I heard some of the groups were kind of debating, did they actually lie or not? You know, maybe Hebrew women were having babies really fast, and the midwives were like walking really slowly to the houses. Like, so we'll talk a little bit about that in tonight's class. So, you know, did they really lie? Maybe, maybe not. But there are definitely instances where that happens in Scripture. What we know, however, is there's a few things to consider on this wise. The first is that God calls us to live by principle, right? Our decisions are not based off of the results that we expect to see. Principle, not results, right? That really is the key thing. So I think we have to ask ourselves, you know, when you look at instances like Rahab and the spies, or Jonathan and Ahimaaz, hiding in the well when that, you know, the woman covers them up and she says, oh, they're not here, right? And then Absalom's men run somewhere else. You know, you ask yourself, well, what was really going on? Well, I think what's more important to ask is, do we believe that God is in control of the results? And we do, right? We believe that God can create whatever results he wants. And so therefore, could God have saved Jonathan and Ahimaaz in another way? Could God have saved Rahab's spies in another way? The answer is definitely yes, right? And so going off of that, well, it seems as though, you know, the end result was good. However, the means, as we can tell, based off of what we know, weren't. So there are instances in which maybe you could say lying was faithful. But I think there are instances where you're looking at somebody like Rahab, who was a Gentile and a harlot and had some other issues going on at that point. Or like maybe with the midwives, where you have people who are working in an idolatrous society and doing the best they can to say, well, I fear God. How can I serve him in this instance? Okay, well, if I try and protect the Hebrew children, that kind of thing. For us, we know the principle. Proverbs 6 is very clear. There's seven things that Yahweh hates. One of them is a lying tongue. I don't think you can get a whole lot clearer than that, right? This is in the list of absolute God hates this. So, how do you work through that kind of thing? Well, we say it's principle, not results. The principle is God requires honesty and integrity. There may be exceptions, and we have to deal with those on a case-by-case basis in Scripture based off of the context, based off of the other principles that are at work in that situation. However, for us, in your life, please be honest. Now, just something that I want to walk you through that I think is very interesting. 1 Samuel chapter 20. Come over and look at this. Now, we are all about principles and not results. However, just something to consider is that I would actually suggest to you that most of the time, anyway, the results of lying are bad, right? So, you know, we live by principle, not results. And the fact of the matter, though, too, is that even if you are going for results, the results of lying are basically bad almost all the time. So you look at 1 Samuel chapter 20. This is where David and Jonathan have their plan, right? David's going to hide out in the field, and Jonathan's going to go tell Saul, oh, David went to Bethlehem for this sacrifice and all these things. So you see that there in verses 5 and 6. So 1 Samuel 20, verses 5 and 6, there's the plan. The plan is based on a lie. Jonathan goes along with it. But do you know what happens? This then begins David on this path in which he starts lying. And so Jonathan may have been lying in this instance to try and save David's life, something that, you know, we could maybe try and justify and say, oh, well, that was selfless, right? That was for David's sake. The problem is, look at what David starts doing. Turn over to 1 Samuel 21. Check this out. Verse 1. 1 Samuel 21, verse 1 says, then came David to Nob, to Ahimelech the priest, and Ahimelech was afraid at the meeting of David, and said unto him, why art thou alone, and no man with thee? David said unto Ahimelech the priest, the king hath commanded me a business, and hath said unto me, let no man know anything of the business whereabout I send thee, and what I have commanded thee, and I have appointed my servants to such and such a place. David actually shows up in front of the high priest, and the high priest says, oh, David, why are you here? And David says, shh, I can't tell you. Secret, right? I'm on a secret mission from the king. And he tells this lie to the priest. Now, obviously lying's bad, but I feel like, you know, lying to the high priest, that's got to be like way bad, right? So he lies to the high priest, and the result of that is that Saul comes along in 1 Samuel 22. Saul shows up to Ahimelech, and he says, Ahimelech, did you help David? And Ahimelech says, yeah, secret business, right? Wink, wink, you know, like, I know, I'm in on the secret. And Saul says, there was no secret business, Ahimelech. You helped David, I hate David, I'm going to kill you. And he kills all the priests because of that. All of the priests, except for one who runs away, die because of David's lie. That's like worse than lying to the high priest, right? That's like making it so that all the priests die. So that's like uber bad. So that happens, right? 1 Samuel 21, the next thing that David does is he then runs to Gath, right, where Achish is, and when he's with Achish, he acts crazy. He's not crazy. So he's using deception once again. So you see that there starting in verse 10 of 1 Samuel 21. So in 1 Samuel 21, starting in verse 10, you have this instance then of David using deception. So all of this starts with Jonathan agreeing to lie on David's behalf, but it gets even worse. Worse than all the priests dying. Maybe. So, turn to 1 Samuel 27. 1 Samuel 27, David ends up living in Philistia. Achish is his king. And so in 1 Samuel 27, David is in Ziklag, and in verse 8 it says, 1 Samuel 27, verse 8, David and his men went up and invaded the Geshurites, the Gezrites, the Amalekites, for those nations were of old the inhabitants of the land, even as thou goest ashore, even as the land of Egypt. So every day he goes out and he fights against the Geshurites, the Gezrites, the Amalekites. Get rid of those bad guys, right? Well, he then comes back, and Achish says to him in verse 10, Achish said, whither have you made a road today? David said, against the south of Judah, against the south of the Jerahmeelites, against the south of the Kenites. He totally lies to Achish, right? Achish says, oh, who have you fought? And David says, ah, against Judah, against my own people, ha ha, you know, whatever. And Achish hears this and says in verse 12, Achish believed David, saying, he hath made his people Israel utterly to abhor him. Therefore, he shall be my servant forever. Do you remember what happens because of that? Achish, in chapter 28, takes David into battle with him because he says he's my servant forever. He takes him into battle with him in chapter 28, and guess where that battle takes place? It's 28 verse 4. Chapter 28, verse 4 tells us that that battle is at Mount Gilboa. That is the battle in which Jonathan dies. David is standing on the other side of the battle lines from Jonathan. Here is the one who is about to give his life for the sake of David to be able to come king, to become king. And who's given everything to David. And David is standing on the other side. Can you imagine what that would have been like if Jonathan saw David over there? Like, this would have, it would have been hugely terrible. And so God actually intervenes in 1 Samuel 29. And so the Philistines look at David and they're like, Achish, yeah, I'm pretty sure he killed Goliath. And Achish is like, yeah, don't worry, right? He kills people from Judah all the time. He's used to this, veteran, right? And the Philistines say, no, he killed Goliath. He's not fighting with us, right? And so Achish has to send David home. But if it was not for God like intervening and making the Philistines kick David out, David would have been fighting against Jonathan in the very battle in which Jonathan died, right? This is what we're looking at. God wants us to live by principle and not results. We do not lie. We live by integrity. We are people of integrity. And the people around us know that our yes is yes and our no is no. However, to add on top of that, if you ever are considering, should I lie because it will produce the result that I want? Number one, you're not living by principle and not results. But number two, it probably won't produce the result you want, right? Because, you know, Jonathan did it to save David's life. And yeah, it saved David's life in that instance. But look at what it led to. So, just something to keep in mind. I think that's extremely important, and I above all, I really think it's important that people recognize us as the followers of Christ, as people of integrity. All right, very good. So, see you all later. What am I supposed to like close by saying anything profound or? Okay. All right. Thanks.